Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. We happen to be at Lake of the Ozarks. We're at the hashtag 2024 LOZ Fish Camp. That's a mouthful, but yes. More importantly is Frank's here. And so Frank Hedisak, yep. And he's going to talk crappie fishing. And he actually did bring some cool looking stuff. We'll get to that. And he'll explain how that works and how that helps him catch fish. And the one thing we like doing here, we like learning how to catch fish, yes. So we can go catch them ourselves. Yep. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Frank.
I've been crappie fishing my whole life, you know, growing up in Missouri here, fishing Truman Dam. So it was actually right. The Lake of the Ozark side,
right.
You know, when we lived in the city, and then we actually moved down by Truman Lake. And just grew up hunting, fishing in Missouri, and then joined the military, spent 20 years there. Really first 12 years, I didn't hardly do any fishing.
Right.
You know, I was moving up the ranks and the different locations I was stationed at and responsibilities. And then once I came back to Kansas at Fort Riley, I bought my first boat and joined a local crappie club, and then decided to fish a couple crappie masters, and it just went to, from there. And you know, now I fished four different national trails and one in each one of them, and won a classic for Crappie USA, and you know, just yeah. Enjoying my life now that I retired in 2019 and do fishing pretty much for a full-time job.
What do you think? Why do you think you got into crappie fishing specifically? Because there's, you know, they got everything now. They got bass fishing and catfishing tournaments and all that. What drove you to crappie?
It's just what we did down at Truman Dam. Oh. You know, I mean, you know, my whole family was there. My uncles, my grandpa, you know. A lot of them were catfishing, or they'd wait till the morning and do striper fishing. You know, right. I was still, I guess, probably in their eyes, too young to do a lot of that stuff. And right. I didn't have the patience for catfishing. You know, I didn't right. want to throw something out there and then sit in a chair. So, you know, they gave me an ultralight and a bobber and either a minnow, you know, on a plain hook or a jig. And, you know, Truman Dam, you know, you always got current. So,
right.
you know, it kept me busy watching the bobber go downstream, and you know, then I just learned to slowly reel it and pop it and stuff like that, and I was catching mainly crappie,
right,
and just fell in love with it. And then, you know, when we moved down here, you know, my dad bought like a pontoon, and that's usually what we did. You know, we'd tie up to a tree or
right.
a bridge pillar and, you know, fish day and night really from target crappie. And plus they're a great fish to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We like that part.
Yep.
So tell us now, you're fishing in tournaments. Now, I've been fortunate. I've been in your boat a few times and around you as you've been fishing. Tell us kind of what your setup is, because you've basically, the front of your boat is tournament ready. So give us the layout on electronics and seat and stuff.
Yeah, so I got two graphs up front on a beatdown mount.
Uh-huh.
You know, the ultimate, so it allows me to raise it however I want. If I'm guiding and somebody needs to sit down, I can lower it down
right.
so they can see it. And, you know, I'm leaning on a chair or on a butt seat, so, you know, I can still look down and see it. But, you know, it positions perfectly. You know, I'm running a 16-inch graph, which gets in your way, so I can raise that beatdown mount
right.
and look underneath the graphs when I'm driving. There's been so many people that have gotten into boat wrecks because they couldn't see.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what they said, that I didn't see, and most chances are it's because the graph was in the way. So I got that. You know, I'm using the Ultrex. I've used it since probably at least 2013.
Right.
You know, with the cheapest Minn Kota I could find, and then
right.
I won one at Crappie Masters Adult Youth Winners.
Right,
won a 70-pound, upgraded from a 50-pound trolling motor, and that made a world of difference. You know,
right.
my old boat.
I bet it did.
Yeah, and then you know, when the Ultrex come out, I bought it, and just so used to the responsiveness of it, and just gone from there. But yeah, I mean that's. Really pretty much it, you know. I mean, I got, of course, the Garmin LiveScope on there.
Right.
And, you know, that's helped tremendously find the fish. You know, this week, I'm sure a lot of people can tell you that it doesn't catch the fish for you.
You
still got to give them a bite.
Dude, they weren't underneath a lot of boat docks, and there'd be 30, 40 crappie sitting right there. And there was a lot of looking and not as much hook setting. And then we get into one group and, you know, just fire. I guess once they get fired up, it'd be on, and you go, and then they get smart, and then we say they get smart, but. You know,
well, the main thing for me is what forward-facing sonar has done is it's taught us more. It's taught us more about fish behavior.
Right.
It's proven some way of thinking beforehand that anglers had, and then it's broken some of the myths that other anglers have had. So, and you know what we realized, especially in crappie, that you can find crappie pretty much anywhere.
Yep.
You know, they'll be swimming around just like any other predatorial fish out there, you know, looking for food. And then as they migrate, you know, during their seasons and patterns. And so, you know, I love it. Most of all my clients that I know that I've taken out seem to like it too. But
and you run your graph hot, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you run your graph hot because Wade told me.
Yeah.
David Wade, this is your shout out. D. Wade Outdoors. He goes, Frank runs his hot.
I like seeing the dirt in the water.
Oh, you can see dirt. I don't know. Core of the earth.
Yeah, when it first came out, I was kind of running it cool. And I don't know if it was the.
Explain to them what hot means. So
yeah, it's the settings on there. So it's the gain. And it's, you got a gain and a color gain. You can play with those. So it's just like anything. You know, it's even just like your phone, if you turn down the light.
Right.
Same thing. And it's just the first iteration of LiveScope. I noticed a lot of times the bigger fish would, when they started swimming, would start disappearing.
Right.
And you'd kind of see their outline. And scientifically, I don't know if it's correct, but my way of thinking was that they were probably airing up their air bladder.
Yeah.
And with it being a sonar, it's going to ping off something solid in return. I think when they blew up their air bladder that it wasn't getting that big of a solid return is my way of thinking. So I end up having to turn it up hot because I was like, man, I don't want to miss one of those big fish. And then, you know, as you know, practice makes perfect. So once you practice with something, then it's hard to get away from that. So yeah, I've been stuck with a hot screen, and I see some people that turn it down and
They have a nice clear image.
Yeah,
so you
clear
get in
image,
Frank's, you will not see a clear image in that thing. But yeah, air pockets, amazingly, is I write a lot of electronic articles, and air pockets stop. So your band as it goes out, your ping as it goes out, when it comes back, it doesn't show it. So there's some people that are starting to put air pockets in their lures on purpose because then you'll be able to see your lures better.
Gotcha.
And so that's kind of been going like that. But you happen to bring some stuff that helps you catch fish. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Easy Drift, they've had the bait pin out for a while.
Yep.
You can put crappie nibbles or whatever your favorite scent type of balls in there.
Right.
But, you know, he decided, well, you know, those don't last as long. You know, they dissolve, they fall off the hook. So the owner of Easy Drift, Brad Chandler, decided to make some plastic ones and infuse them himself.
Right.
So he spent a lot of time playing around with them with different scents and trying them out. And he's sent out, I don't know how many, out to different fishermen to just test them before he even put it on the market. And his first one was really the trout scent. And the trout anglers seemed to love this.
Right.
So, I mean, he was sold out for a while on the trout. And
wow.
But, you know, it's like with anything, you know, there's anglers out there that don't believe in scent, and then there's some that do. You know, I've gone kind of beyond the scent thinking, too, and I try to think, well, what is a crappie seeing? So, you know, like this year, I started playing around with it and putting the balls on before I put on my plastic or
You've posted some photos on Facebook with that.
And my thinking was, you know, the crappie's probably going to see a minnow, or, you know, if you're using a shad type plastic, you know, a shad trying to eat, you know, something in the water
that
looks like a ball. And for one, you know, the crappie's going to be like, well, he's preoccupied with that, so I can get an easy meal. And for two, maybe he's like, well, I'm getting a little bit of extra protein in my diet. And, you know, I'm going to eat both of them at the same time. So, you know, there's a chance possibly, too, that, you know, you can get a better hook set, too, you know, especially if they're finicky bite that day.
So what if you could give someone a tip, just an angler that's out there fishing, you know, weekend angler, someone just going out there for fun, what would you give them for a tip for crappie fishing? And let's say do it with live scope and one without live scope.
Okay. Yeah, obviously live scope. You know, do your research. Try to find out what the most consistent pattern is. You know, research that depending on the time of year, and then go out to those areas of the lake. You know, obviously during the spawn time, depending on where you're at in the country, you know, January in Florida to March in the South to sometimes right. April and May up here in Missouri and Kansas, depending on how quick it warms up, you know, you're going to want to fish closer to the bank or spawning areas that they're spawning in. So, I mean, I guess my biggest thing and what I've done in tournament fishing is research this stuff first.
Right.
It's going to help you be more successful. That way when you drop your live scope down, you know, you can look around, you know, spawn time, same. You're going up more shallow waters, 10 foot and less,
right.
A round structure of some sort so they can lay their eggs and, you know, drop that live scope down and check that. Non-live scope, I hate
minnows. Are you going to tell them to go get minnows?
No. I mean, I don't use minnows pre-fishing. You know, obviously.
But you use them in the tournament.
Yeah, though, obviously tournaments allow them, so I'm going to have them on board because if it's a tough bite, I'm going to a minnow, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just that's a natural bait, and, you know, it's you got your natural movements if you hook them up right and everything else. But, no, non-live scope, I hate to say it because I grew up in Truman around timber and I had single pull. And, you know, so it wasn't big transition when live scope come out for having one pole and targeting one fish. But for a non-live scope angler beginning, I would say spider rigging.
Yeah.
So you could cover water. There's plenty of crappie throughout the country that are not on timber at some point in the day.
You know,
they don't always just sit in one spot. You know, sometimes they're going to be moving, whether it's the morning, even sitting in the mud. You know what I mean? And then there were some great anglers here at Lake of the Ozarks. Jones, they were sponsored by American Ethanol for quite some years. He was great at spider rigging structures.
Wow.
So he could put his eight rods into a brush pile or stake bed and ease them in there and catch fish and back up. And, you know, I mean, I remember we were spider rigging at Darbone before forward-facing sonar and, you know, we're always grabbing the rod and pulling it back and hitting trees and all that stuff. So, you know, Caps and Coleman, you know, they were mastered spider rigging. So, I mean, I would really say beginner, and that's what, you know, we've had discussions of, are they going to ban forward-facing sonar in crappie tournaments? Well, I said, if they do, I'm going to be buying some spider rigging gear.
Everyone will just switch back to spider rigging, and then everyone will be sitting there watching people looking at their poles instead of looking at a screen.
Exactly.
I don't know how you clarify that one is less boring than the other.
Yeah.
At least they say it's boring, but actually it's I think you have to fish the way that you want to fish and what's fun.
Yeah.
You know, what makes your enjoyment going out there fishing. And so I like live scoping, but I'll turn around and go bass fishing, throw topwaters all day.
Yeah.
And so it's whatever.
It's like my dad, you know, he enjoys sitting there, you know, staring at the catfish rod, you know, and waiting for that anticipation for a big catfish to hit. So, yeah, it's everybody's perspective on how they want to fish and everything. You know, forward face sonar is just another tool.
Right.
You know, it's no different from 360 or
even
2D sonar. You know, I know guys in Kansas, you know, a lot of, you know, big walleye state for the Midwest. And, you know, they had their 2D dialed in to where, you know, they could see their jig and they could see fish on the bottom and all that stuff. So, you know, it's really not much difference. But
so did you say Truman? Truman's your home lake? All right. Well, we got to have a tip for fishing Truman, too. We got to have one of those. You're crappie fishing on Truman. You don't have to give us GPS coordinates. You just write them down on a sheet of paper and give them to me. But
there's so many out there.
Tell us a tip for fishing Truman.
Obviously, my tip would probably be go furthest away from the dam as possible.
Okay.
You know, whether it's the Osage Arm or the Grand Arm. You know, obviously fishing structure. I mean, there's so much structure around. You're gonna catch some crappie around structure, whether, you know, doesn't matter what the size is. There's always going to be crappie on structure. You know, and even if you're spider rigging as a new beginner, you know, learn to ease up on some structure with your spider rigging gear.
All right.
And then really you can catch fish on Truman any time of year, 10 foot or less.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't have to go out 30, 40 feet of water, especially if you don't have live scope, and go to a piece of timber and take your time dropping that jig, you know, 20, 30 feet, and then raising it back up to hopefully get a bite. So,
okay.
And that's good too about, you know, if you don't have forward facing sonar, you know, you're staying at 10 foot or less, you know, use like a 16 ounce jig head or something, or even smaller, and just let that bait fall, because those fish will live at certain depths of water, depending on, you know, size of fish or whatever. So, you know, before we had forward-facing sonar, you know, I'd had like a 8-ounce to a quarter-ounce jig head, and I dropped it straight to the bottom. And, you know, now that we got forward-facing sonar, I don't know how many fish I spooked off timber.
Right.
Or they just didn't give them enough time because it was falling so fast. So, lighter jig heads, fish trees, 10 foot or less. Spider rigging, you could probably still, don't be afraid to get them in the mud.
Okay.
You know, a lot of those fish, especially in the summertime, you know, they'll still be shallow, but sometimes they'll be sitting in the mud. So, you know, you get a bottom bouncer or bottom weight, and a jig 6 inches up, and you can probably catch crappie. And then you also catch a bunch of other stuff and have fun catching fish. So drum or flatheads or whatever.
Like as, yes. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. You got all kinds of stuff you can catch crappie with, so you can check that out. Crankbaits, if you love crankbaits, they have a line of crankbaits. 42 in their deep divers, 14 in the square bills. So whatever color you want, they pretty much got it. Check them out at picolures.com. Frank, if they want to find out more about you and what you're doing, where would they go?
You can go to Facebook, really, is my main thing.
Okay.
You know, Frank Hideshack, look for Frank the Tank.
Yep.
Because, you know,
I almost called you that in the opening of the show, and I was like, the people would be like, so his last name's T-A? No.
No.
It's already hard enough to spell your name.
Yeah. No, I got that call sign when I was in the military because I lifted Frank a bunch of Tank. Weights. But then also I had to find something to separate me from my dad because I am a junior. So,
oh, okay. So check you out on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's the best way to get a hold of me, or you can call me if you want to do a guide trip or anything. Okay. Kansas, 660-890-4453.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.